So I fulfilled my commitment there with the fellowship. And so a year ago, we went up to Sunnybrae and started out as camp hosts, sort of. I'm still not sure what the title is or what it means. But anyways, especially during the summer, we are like grandma and grandpa to the kids. Kids camps. This year we directed a camp. That wasn't in the cards because we were retired. But anyways, and then he wanted me also to speak to the staff and teach a little bit at Miller because we're retired. Mentor students and look after that. And then also, while everybody else is away, look after the 17 horses because we're retired. So that's kind of our job for the last year. Actually, this morning we were up early and we fed all the animals. You know, it's incredible. My wife, who grew up in Vancouver, so our first pastor was in Barrier, and it was an eye-opener for her about this whole farming thing. Do I dare say what a heifer is? She wondered about all these cows. Anyways, that's beside the point. So now, all of a sudden, we're looking after horses. I love horses. I just enjoy them so much. And just put the hay in my arms, and I carry it to their trough, and they're following me and eating the hay and everything. And so I said to my wife, I said, here, just take a bundle of hay here, just put it in the trough over there. So she puts it in her arms and starts to walk over to the trough, and a horse comes towards her and, you know, wants to nibble away. Well, she just goes, "Booyah!" She's over it. This morning, here we are. The donkey and the little pony get out. Oh my goodness, we thought, oh, these two little creatures. I am gonna get to the message, okay? Yesterday morning we get up there, and this one horse, really, they're smart animals. How many have horses? Had, or, you understand them, you know? He actually bites at the chain, and opens the gate. And yesterday we come up and all these four horses are galloping past us. Now they get out of the paddocks, but can't get out of the full pen, you know. So we got to get them back in. And this morning I thought, oh, the donkey and the little pony. The little pony, he's wretched, I'll tell you. Beautiful little pony, but fast. Oh, is he fast. He just, if he has a mind, he just goes wherever he wants. But eventually we managed to get them back in this morning. I thought, I'm going to be phoning Logan late and saying, we've got a horse out. I can't come this morning because we're retired. But everybody is away this week because it's the 10-day break that our staff have. It's incredible what our staff do throughout the year, because it used to be that we had summer, and we went from May to the end of August, the use of the camp. But now, in September, Miller College is there. And so tonight, there'll be 23, I think about 20 students be there. They're all the leaders in the Miller College. So they're starting now, and they will go all the way through till the end of April. So we hardly have a break, catch our breath from summer camp into college.
But you're retired.
Ministry. But we're retired. No more comments from the peanut gallery. I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. And I'm told I have 21 minutes. And that's
the clock's over here, so you can see it.
I wasn't looking for the clock. Oh, okay. I don't worry about it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length, depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And just before I begin, I just want to commend you for what you have done here. The last time I was here, you know, the platform, the TVs, all of this, that room over there. It's so inviting when a person comes in here. I just commend you what you have done and how the Lord has blessed you. You know, I've thought often about Logan Lake and the ministry that you have undertaken. And I praise God for you and for what you are doing here in Logan Lake. I didn't want to miss out on that. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart. It's interesting when Paul comes. There's two aspects of prayer that Paul prays for here in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1, he talks about enabling us. And here in chapter 3, he is praying that we wouldn't lose heart in what we are doing. And it's very fascinating what Paul says here. I bow the knee. In other words, in his prayer for the Ephesians, there is a holy, what I call a holy intensity. There is a passion here that isn't seen in other prayers. Every church has its prayer warriors, and I always valued, really highly valued, prayer warriors. I generally always, in every church that I pastored, I always had three or four people that I would meet with consistently and pray with, because I knew that they were prayer warriors. I'm not a prayer warrior. I pray. I know how to pray. But they're prayer warriors. Mm-hmm. And there is a difference. Mm-hmm. And when I look at this prayer here, of Paul, it's a prayer of passion. It's a prayer of intensity. A number of years ago, Dr. David Lee asked me to accompany him to Armenia. How many know where Armenia is?
Oh, yeah.
A few of you. Okay, Armenia is situated right on the borders of Iran, Turkey, Azerbaijan, and Russia, anyways, and it's the oldest Christian country in the world, Armenia. Now, what happens in March is that the Iranians, that is their New Year. And so Christians, people who are Christians, come across the border and they're undetected at that time because so many people are moving back and forth. And the year that I was there, I think there were 26 Iranians, Persians, that came from Iran, Tehran, into Armenia, and there is a safe house there. And you know what? We teach them for one solid week.
Wow.
It's amazing when you hear and you watch these men and women pray. When we had communion, I stood at the front holding the bread, and when they came up to take the bread, the tears were running down their cheeks, because they will never take communion in Iran. Because if they ever caught taking communion in Iran, they will be executed. You see, there is an intensity and a passion for prayer that I don't have. But Paul, that's the kind of passion that Paul has here in Ephesians chapter 3 when he comes and prays. And he prays one thing, just one request. And he says, I pray that you might be strengthened in the inner man. Okay. How are we strengthened in the inner man? Paul begins to tell us. He says, I pray that you be strengthened in the inner man and that Christ might dwell in your hearts. May dwell in your hearts. The word dwell is an interesting Greek word. It's a kataokai, and actually means be at home. In other words, Christ wants to be at home in our life and in our lives. When I was regional director and traveling all over the province, I often stayed in people's homes. Do you know what they all said to me? Make yourself at home. Yeah. When I was with the Halversons in Vernon, who we know really, really well, he said, Bruce, April, make yourself at home. The fridge is here, covers, just help yourself. Here's your bedroom. Here's the kind of living room, sitting room, TV, all the rest of it. Make yourself at home. You know, there's a closed door, and there's covers that are closed. I'm not sure about you, but I'm not one who likes to go and open cupboards and doors in somebody else. Oh, you don't either, Kathy. So, in other words, you're really not at home. Because, first of all, you don't know where the remote is. You don't know where to look for it. But you're really not at home. Paul says, I pray that Christ would be at home in your life. And the struggle we have, I don't know whether it's just me, maybe you as well, is that we invite Christ into our life. We enjoy his presence. The Holy Spirit comes and resides. But there are things that really, I don't want Christ to see on my computer. And so what we're saying to him is that, come in, Lord Jesus, I want what you have to offer, but I don't want you to see everything in my life. Because everything's not perfect. And because we are broken and hurt people. But Christ says, Paul says, until Christ becomes at home in our life, we'll never be strengthened in the inner man. You see? The second thing, he goes on to say, that Christ has to take residence in our life. He said the second thing that there has to be, if we are going to be strengthened in the inner man, is that we have to have a growing understanding of the love of Christ. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, dynamos. That's the Greek word. Or we have Greek get our word dynamite from it. But he says, that you may grasp, that you may be coming to a fuller understanding of what Christ's love really is. I don't believe that this side of heaven we will ever come to a full understanding and comprehension of what the love of Christ is all about. You see, what Paul points to, and he says here in the text, he says, if you're going to understand the love of Christ, then look at the cross. Look at the height. Look at the depth. Look at the breadth. Look at the width. And he's talking about the cross. What was it that brought Christ to the point where he could say, Father, not your will, not my will, but your will be done? What was it that drove Christ to the point where he said, I am willing to take upon myself the sins of the world. I am willing to lay aside my glory, that the Heavenly Father would be glorified and man could be saved. What drove him? Love.
Mm-hmm.
Love. A friend of mine, older friend of mine, I said to him, I said, how's your wife doing? And he said to me, you know what, Bruce, I think she knows who I am. He goes and feeds her every day, cares for her. We don't question whether he loves his wife or not, because he shows by what he does love. And Christ has shown us what love is by what he has done for you and me. Isn't that beautiful? That we might have a greater grasp, a greater understanding of what the love of Christ is all about. The third thing, he says, and that you would also be filled with the fullness of God. The word filled has the idea of something dominating us. And so I'd ask myself the question, what dominates us? What controls our life? Does joy dominate our life? Isn't it great to be around joyful people, happy people? You want to be there. There are some people, you get up in the morning and you go in and you say hi and you wonder if they even saw you. And so what controls our life? Does anger, intolerance, envy, lust, you know, there's all of that. And Paul says, this is what I'm praying for you. And that's what he's praying for you and I. That you and I might be filled with the fullness of what? God. That we might be filled with the fullness of God. In other words, that we might be filled with the beauty of God. That we might be filled with the mercy of God. That we might be filled with the holiness of God. That we might be filled with the love of God. That we might be filled with the grace of God. He said, if we want to be strengthened in the inner man and not lose heart and enjoy that blessed hope, he says, then let Christ be at home. Grow in your understanding of the love of God. Christ, and allow your life to be filled with the fullness of God. You see, what happens so often is we come to this text and all we do is read the doxology, because that's the beautiful part. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. Hey, isn't that great? But in order for that to happen, Paul is saying, in order for that to take place, Christ has to be at home. We have to grow in our love. And we need to be filled with the fullness of God. This is our first full summer at Sunnybrae. What a summer. I'm amazed at the young people that come through Sunnybrae, Miller, Peter Bible Institute, and other Bible colleges and schools. The students, there are about 25 of them, which I would call leaders, are there at the beginning of May. I guess there was 30. And May and June, it is day after day after day after day of public schools coming to our camp and doing recreation. We had, I forget how many, 3,000 to 5,000 children from elementary schools throughout the interior. Kamloops, Kelowna, Seminar, you know, you name it. They were there on our property. And these young people are teaching them and training them about the environment and everything. We have to be careful about what we say in preaching. But you know what? the school has been open to us, and we have an open door for them to come and for us to be able to minister to their lives. Mm-hmm. And the quality of the young people who were there to lead them is exceptional. Then they finish the school. And you know what? They have 3 days, and all of a sudden we're in a summer program. And I don't know about you, but having kids in a cabin for 6 days and then 1 day off, it's more than just a little bit demanding. Last year, what the camp decided to do is that they said, we used to have conversions. How do we count conversions? And during the camp, and the speaker would say, how many would like to make this prayer? And hands would go up. What we did a year ago, I said, you know what? We're not going to have any hands raised. So what we've done is trained all our counselors to sit down one-on-one with each camper and say, do you know about Jesus Christ? And then they record if a decision is made. Do you know that there was over 120 conversions this year? Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ever ask or think, according to the power that is working us through the Holy Spirit. May God continue to use you with that same dynamos, that same power, to touch this community and these hockey students who are coming. Hey, they can come and live with us here in Sunnybrae.
We want them here.
Yeah. We want them here.
Yeah. Sorry, we got dibs. Okay.
Are you
good? It's a little far from the arena.
Yeah.
But you have an opportunity to speak into their lives. You do. You know, so many opportunities. And I pray that God will continue to do increasingly, abundantly above all you could ever ask or think, mm-hmm. even through your lives here in Ottawa. Let's pray. Mm-hmm. Father, you are the great God of wonders. We marvel, we sit back and say, oh, what a wonderful God. What an incredible Savior. What a Lord and a blessed Holy Spirit that walks with us day by day. I pray, your Heavenly Father, your abundant blessing upon this congregation, this people. Use them, our Heavenly Father, to touch this community and beyond. Continue to use them to bring glory not to them, but to yourself. But that they would be blessed through the ministry that you give to them. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.